Welcome to Triangle 411, the pulse that moves the Triangle world today. It's a vibrant collection of stories, medical breakthroughs, what's trending, social good, events, and boundless other adventures. A conversation pit of comedians, authors, chefs, sports figures, experts, the common and the uncommon. Here's the host of Triangle 411, Mary Innsbrucker.
Hi, friends. Garden tourism is a real thing. And that should come as no surprise as more and more folks look to nature to re-nourish their depleted souls from stress, technology, social media, and the like. Garden tours are a reasonably priced entertainment option that check all the boxes, whether it's walking exercise, meditative, learning new things, or exploring uncharted territories. Going on a garden tour will teach you new tricks and landscaping ideas, and it'll introduce you to new plants. Best of all, it opens you up to a new community of friendly folks. I mean, come on, did you ever see a grumpy gardener? They love it. And they love to share their stories when you're on one of these tours. Because garden tourism is so prevalent today, it is easy to find a tour in your area. You can simply Google it, check out Facebook sites, or check in on your local garden club. I mean, pretty much if you name a city, there's going to be a garden club of sorts. Think, you know, like the Atlantic Garden Club, the New York Garden Club, the San Francisco Garden Club, and today we're going to be talking about the Raleigh Garden Club. They have a tour coming up, Gardens on Parade, and it is going to be pretty spectacular. So if you're planning a visit to the area or you live here, you're going to want to take this in. Again, if you're on a visit, it's surely something on your vacation to-do list. And again, if you're not in this area, just look up some that will be where you live. But before I get into the deets on the Raleigh Garden Tour, we're first going to speak to one of the participants who has opened up his garden for the tour. So again, we're going to get some handy tips, universal for everybody out there. So again, no matter where you live, you want to give this a listen. Please welcome John Matthews. Hi, John.
Hey, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And I'm looking forward to you explaining how you took one muddy, weedy mess and turned it into a garden masterpiece even some arboretums would envy. Now, we won't be able to cover every single aspect at length, but let's try a few in brief. I'll dash them to you one at a time, starting with, how did you come up with the vision for this desolate space?
Well, it's 2 acres, and you're right. It was a muddy mess, and it has a variety of typography. So there's some hills, there's obviously some sod, and there's a bunch of mature trees. And I used to go to Seattle a lot for business, and there was this brewery that took over a elementary school, and they created this great brewery configuration with fireplaces and trees and sitting areas and everything like that. So I remember when I was there, because we had an event there, I took a bunch of pictures, brought it back home, and applied a lot of those types of looks and feels and comfort levels and little rooms that they built outside and kind of transformed that. That was really the vision that I put down on paper.
That's such a great idea. And that's something I find when I go on these garden tours, you get all kinds of different ideas. It's just amazing how creative some folks can be. But let's address, what was your greatest challenge in doing this?
Well, it was basically starting from nothing. The bushes that they had all had to be taken out. There weren't any garden beds created. The drainage was poor. There were weeds growing everywhere. The lawn was suspect where I wanted to keep the lawn. And so I kind of got here and said, boy, what do I want to address first?
Yeah, so really? Where to begin?
It was a big undertaking, including building the golf hole that we have, Getting the creek in that we've added and getting the hardscaping in, and then putting all the plants and all of the topsoil in, the 50-50 mix that I use, which I would highly recommend to any of your listeners. It's a mix of peat and manure as opposed to just straight dirt, and it really does help your plants grow. Mm. And then just getting the whole look and feel. I mean, we had many iterations. There was going to be a pool at one point, and there was going to be a hot tub at one point, and then we landed, you know, with the current configuration that we have.
So tell us a little bit more what it looks like, because I've seen a visual of it and it's amazing. So before I get into, and I appreciate the little tip there, I'm going to ask you for a few more, but explain to our listeners what exactly you created.
Well, it's a 2-acre piece of property, and the side yard was actually the leach field for the septic. So they'd already cleared out a bunch of the big trees. It was about 85 yards in length. But they just let it overgrow with, you know, 6-foot weeds. And so I'm a golfer, and I immediately said, this is going to be a golf hole here. So we put that off to the side. That wasn't the first project we did. But it turned out to be amazing to have a little 85-yard golf hole on the side yard. The backyard had beautiful rolling hills, but it was a muddy mess. But the hills gave me an idea. I wanted to have some water feature. I wanted to have a creek kind of running through it. And I originally was going to have the creek only about 20 feet long. But then when I looked at these hills, I realized if I started the creek further back, there could be a series of cascading waterfalls down these hills that would add to the sound and add to the interest. So the creek became 65 feet long. And then I added another 25 feet in dry creek bed at the end of it. So it's basically looks like it's a 90-foot creek that meanders through the back gardens. Mm. Then I added three patios, a patio that's kind of a landing area from the stairwell deck. And then I added a patio with a pergola that's over it that now has Confederate jasmine growing all over it. And then a third patio, which is kind of the focal point, where there's a fireplace there, there's seating, there's a seat wall, and then you can watch a 60-inch TV outside that's encased in the Confederate jasmine. So it's kind of cool. Great entertainment place.
Yeah, it sounds like I would just live outside if I was out your way. It just sounds just, oh, wow, what a heaven. And how many years did it take for you to you're probably not complete because gardeners always add, but to get to the point you're at, how long?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had 2 acres in Chicago, and I said to myself that it's going to take anywhere between 5 to 10 years to build it the way I wanted. And so this garden down here, it was basically a blank slate, and we're in year 4. And it's just starting to come into its own. I've actually had conversations with Fine Gardening Magazine, because I was in Fine Gardening Magazine in Chicago, and they want to see it mature to at least 5 years before they'll consider doing a pictorial on it. And so we're coming up on the end of year 4. It has really started to take off in the last 18 months. You know, the growth of the Confederate jasmine and all the plants are becoming very mature. I'm finding the right places for the plants. Some don't do well, and you got to relocate them because of the amount of sun or shade that they're getting, or if it's dry or wet. So there's a constant, that first 3 to 5 years, you're constantly moving plants around to get them to where they're happy. And now I think we're at that stage, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 to 3 years. I don't have a lot more in the way of build gardens. It's just making the ones I currently have, both in the front of the house and the back of the house, along the fairway as well of the golf hole. We've had a tremendous amount of plants, trying to make it look like Augusta. And it's just starting to come into its own. It's just really taken off.
Oh, that's amazing. What about a couple more DIY tips for our listeners out there?
Well, that first one is the dirt. You got to have good soil for your plants to go nuts. And I use a 50-50 mix. You can get it at any place that has bulk soil. It's a combination of manure and peat, and, you know, it's got dirt in there, obviously. And I always put about 6 to 8 inches as the base. Not only does it give the plants, you know, ample place to you know, set foot, and get their firm footing in the ground so it's not contending with the soil. But it sure makes it a lot easier to move plants around, and if you're not digging through concrete, clay all the time to get there. So I always put 6 or 8 inches of soil and build up the garden beds with that. That's probably the best tip I can give anyone. Even if you have if you don't have a green thumb, it's pretty hard to screw up plants when they're in happy soil. So it just is something I learned the hard way, because I didn't do this in Chicago, and now I've started to do it here, and they're really taking off.
Okay. Anything to avoid?
I guess the thing to avoid is don't try to take on too much. It took me 4 years to get to this point, and I didn't try to do it all in one swoop. And you will make some changes to the gardens. You'll say, boy, I should have made this garden bed bigger. Or I should have rounded the gardens more. That's another tip, that since I do have a lot of sod still, making sure that all the garden beds are nice and rounded and curved. So when I have a riding lawnmower go around it, it's very easy to go around the edges of the gardens, as opposed to, you know, starting and stopping and backing up and things like that. So have that. And it actually does give a nice appeal to the gardens, because they're nice, soft, flowing curves in the garden beds, as opposed to squares and something like that. So I approach my gardens by taking it, you know, one area at a time, and then building on that area, and then moving on to another place. And I probably have added a half dozen garden beds since the initial backyard project that I did 3 or 4 years ago. So it's I've added 2 garden beds this year alone. So
that's a good point about when you're having to cut the grass, make what you're saying. And it's these little tips that really make a big difference. So I thank you for sharing those and your story with our listeners. And John, it's been great.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. It's a pleasure being here, and I'm happy to do a rainy day in Raleigh, because my plants love this weather.
I'll bet. Okay, thanks. You know, and if you are lucky enough, like I mentioned, to live in the Raleigh area or visiting here, you can enjoy John's little patch of heaven along with 7 other gardens, and I'll tell you about that now. The magic happens at the Gardens on Parade Home Garden Tour, hosted by the Raleigh Garden Club, May 31st through June 2nd, 2024. So there's a couple different options here, a couple different ways you can go. For a $25 ticket, you'll get 8 gardens. And I'll tell you a little bit, just very in brief. Garden 1, a subdivision lot with 100-plus rose bushes and cozy spaces. Garden 2, 8-acre wooded yard with 2 acres of trails, color-coordinated rooms with seating and sculptures. I like those. Plus a magnificent greenhouse. I probably gravitate to those because I don't have a green thumb, so I like the sitting areas, the little vignettes. Garden 3, a beautiful and whimsical garden with abundant sculptures and bright colors. Garden 4, a landscape with international charm in the formal and informal areas. Garden 5, this has gardens on a sloping wooded lot with cascading streams, playhouse, patio, and shade-loving plants. Look at 250 maple trees. Maples are beautiful. Now, Garden 6 is a yard designed to accommodate the active kids, with play areas, a music studio, and a bike trail. Garden 7 has blooming plants, flowering trees, veggies, herbs, and art in the freeform curving gardens that surround the expansive lawn and home. Garden 8 is John's garden, and you just heard all about that. That's really something to see. John will also be hosting the Sunset and Moonlight event at his garden. Each of these gardens will have an artisan station on site. Their garden theme art will be for sale. Now, that's a plus for me, too. I love to shop. back to the Sunset and Moonlight Affair. So now, you know, you can just go on this tour by itself, or I should say, and or, you can go to the Sunlight Moonlight Affair, which is May 31st from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Now, this will run you $100 a person, but there's wine. So that might make a difference to some folks. And there will also be non-alcoholic beverages along with a variety of food delights. And all that will facilitate the socializing in the garden. That sounds nice. The sounds of the stream's waterfalls and evening bird calls will highlight a memorable setting sun experience. But wait, there's more. This is a good one. This is very comprehensive. On June 2nd from 3 to 5, for $15 a person, you can enjoy a garden party and silent auction. This takes place at the NC State University's J.C. Rolston Arboretum, which ranks in the top 3% in U.S. public gardens for plant diversity. They have over 6,000 plants there. And at this time of year, you'll be able to see a wide variety of plants in bloom, including coneflowers, lilies, magnolias, and as an added plus, plants will be labeled. You can make it fun. Feel free to wear a dapper or fancy hat and come prepared to take keepsake photos. The garden should be dazzling with blossoms in every hue. And they will also have refreshments. You can visit raleigh-garden-club.org for more info or to purchase tickets. Again, that's raleigh-garden-club.org. Well, that's a wrap, 2024. I'm Mary Innsbrucker for Triangle 411. Today's pocket, be the spark.